Blog Talk Radio.
Mark the Rabbit Hole.
Broadcasting live from the fog of Neptune comes a waspily rabbit, exploring the unknown, traveling the astrological landscape, visiting secret worlds, dispelling the English language. So put on your bunny ears and hop down the rabbit hole with your host, Mark Matheny.
Is it time to wake up already? Well, welcome to 2015, if that's what it really is. If we've not just gone through another series of time shifts. Good morning, Iggy.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Good. How are you? How is your New Year starting off?
Fantastic, man.
Yes. If you are not in Columbus, Ohio, but you have friends in Columbus, Ohio, everyone is probably a little sleepy this morning as the...
What's that, Mark?
As the... if you're a college football fan, I'm sure you already know this, but the Ohio State Buckeyes knocked off the number one team in the nation in one of the semifinal games of the first ever college football playoffs. And if you read my blog last night on I Am Planet Soul, I picked the Buckeyes to win by 3, and they won by 7. And made a few other predictions about the game, which ended up pretty accurate. So you can, if you're friends with me on Facebook, you can. If you're not, you can friend me. If you are, you can read my blog, or you can go to www.iamplanetsoul.com and my blog telling you what was going to happen using astrology, of course, for last night's game is up on there, and you can still read what I posted was going to happen in the game before it happened. Urban Meyer with some nice transits happening last night. And actually, really interestingly, I had a hard time getting that blog up because I was having some technical issues. And funnily enough, the earlier semifinal game ended up running late, which gave me an extra, and they had to bump the kickoff time for the Ohio State game back. So it actually gave me an extra half hour to have difficulties and get my blog up before the game. So, some appreciated assistance from the universe out there. So, yes, we will. I have my good friend Elsa Hermes. She will be on here in about 10 minutes or so, maybe a little less. And we will be talking some astrology for what we see coming in 2015. Kind of give you a little rundown. She also is a reflexologist, which she is very good at, and she is a symbologist and etymologist, which she is amazing at. So we will be laying down the smack on what you can expect to see out of next year.
First Bottom Reporting.
And Happy New Year to our assistant, Victoria Fuzzbottom, feeling a little sleepy herself this morning, I think.
Yeah, we got to reboot her.
Okay, so, as always, I am going to dispel a couple news items here to start the things off. And we're going to, my guest, Elsa, will be on in a few minutes, and she will be with us until 12, and then we'll probably do some more sports astrology after that, take another look at the charts of some of the players from the Ohio State game, a little look at head to the national championship game, and I'll give you a few predictions for the NFL playoff games for this week and anything else that I darn well feel like. Okay, so as we know, the media is out there to spread disinformation, the mainstream media is out there to spread disinformation and keep us vibrating at our lowest vibratory level to keep us in a state of fear-induced panic. So, in today's newspaper, I found an article. So everything's getting worse and we're all going to die, right? And everything's horrible and we should be afraid to leave our house, right? That's the story. Mm-hmm. Okay, so murder rate at lowest mark since at least 1963. Murders in New York fell to 328 in 2014, the lowest since the New York Police Department started keeping reliable numbers in 1963. I guess before then they kept unreliable numbers. the New York Times reported. The figure is part of a decades-long fall in U.S. crime. Reports of major crimes in New York City fell to 105,428 through Sunday. Murders are down 85% from their peak in 1990, the New York Times said. Among other big cities in 2014, Chicago. Now, we heard about all these killings and stuff in Chicago, I believe it was early summer. Chicago had the lowest number of murders since 1965 and the lowest overall crime rate since 1972. Said the Chicago Police Department. Probably just one person from the police department. Probably wasn't the entire police department speaking. In Philadelphia, violent crime was down 7% in 2013, although murders were slightly higher. Police data showed Los Angeles, or L.A. for short, or as Bill Hicks calls it, Hell-A, had a 12.3% upturn in violent crime through Saturday. So, as you can see, everything's terrible and the world's going to end, yet murder rates are going down, violent crime is going down. Mm-hmm. Just again proving that the mainstream media is no more than worthless puppets to spread fear and make everyone afraid to come out of their house, when in reality, the real reality of what's going on is people are waking up and most people are actually more conscious now, and so actually more people are actually treating others better. It's just they exploit the exploit the 2% of the stories out there that are horrible, and they show those all over the newspaper to make you think that that's the only reality that's going on. Okay,
That's their reality, right?
Yes, that's their reality. That's what sells their newspapers and their and their advertising, marketing. So another steaming pile of crap that I'm going to. By the way, another steaming pile that I'm going to jettison into outer space. Okay, so if you are pro-vaccine, you're probably not going to like me nor agree with most of the things I say, just as a warning.
Before you say anything,
yes,
I wanted to interject on that. I would never surprise how many people are for vaccine. I'm stunned.
Oh, I know. It's amazing how people will.
I mean, some really people that I'm like, that I know personally, that are like really. They have kids in this life.
Oh, I'm sorry. Those are the people with kids are the worst ones. I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm just going to say it because here's the argument that I, because I get into a lot of these discussions. I know, shocking. So here's the argument that now there are a few vaccines that people do need. There are a few vaccines that children need. Mm-hmm. Children do not need 80,000 vaccines by the time they're 7 years old. Mm-hmm. That is BS. We do not need 30 booster updates on every vaccine we had when we were little. There are some we need once in a while. So the one that really kills me is the people. It's like they know they're deluding themselves,
mm-hmm.
because I get in the middle of this discussion all the time, and it's, well, such and such is going around. We should force everyone's children to take these vaccines if they want, or they shouldn't be allowed to go to school. Oh, really? You're just admitting that you don't even trust that the vaccines work. If you want your kid to have the certain vaccine, if your kid gets the vaccine, then they should be protected, right?
Right, correct.
If your kid gets the vaccine and you're still afraid of other kids who don't have it, then that means you don't really think that it's going to work.
Yeah, that's my point. I agree with you.
So if these vaccines are really this great, glorious savior, then if you give them to your kids, you shouldn't have any, if they really work, you shouldn't have any fear if there's a few kids in school that don't have them. Because you're not going to catch it, right? Your kid's not going to catch it, right? Because he's had his vaccine.
That's right.
So you're just defeating yourself. And by the way, polio and, you know, some of these other vaccines, some of these vaccines did help knock out some diseases, you know, like 90 years ago. But in reality, those are all kind of piggybacking, mm-hmm. because the great decline in most diseases was in the early in the last century when we had some big improvements in sanitation and sewage and water purification and things like that. That's when people started getting better sanitation services and not having to live in as much filth and being able to get clean water easily. That's when you had the big drop off in most of these diseases.
Mm-hmm.
So the rest of them are just mm-hmm. kind of, you know, the big drop came before the vaccine.
Yeah, that's one of those things. It's very controversial,
right,
amongst parents and doctors, and not necessarily doctors. They're like, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. They could. My doctor would always keep trying to get me to get additional vaccines.
Okay, yeah,
No. Perfectly fine. Okay, anyway, so real short here. And this is from the Columbus Dispatch. Flu here sends 101 to hospital in a week. So it's talking about blah, 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 blah. The total since August 25th would be 375 if no more cases were reported. So this is on the front page of the Metro section. So here, we're going to raise fear and panic. Flu sends 101 to hospital in a week. So get your vaccines, right? Okay, if you turn to page B5 on the bottom part of the page, and you go in and read, so you're like, okay, so that's a lot of people are having to go to the hospital because of the flu, so you should get your flu vaccine, right? Okay. One of the reasons it's been so bad, okay, this is Dr. Alan Gora, Emergency Department Medical Director for Mount Carmel Hospitals. One of the reasons it's been so bad is the ineffectiveness of the initial vaccine, he said. Even some of the people who were vaccinated are getting sick. That's because the strain of flu that many people are getting isn't the same one that was targeted in the vaccines. I know it's not. And it's because that's how it is every single year, mm-hmm. for eternity. You can Google that, essentially that same phrase, and put 2013 flu, 2012, 2000. It's like that every year. It's because the flu mutates as it travels around the world. So the same strain from a year ago is not the same strain that's here. So getting the flu vaccine for the flu that was traveling around last year is ridiculous and stupid. While we know the virus has drifted and the shot doesn't provide full protection against the most common H3N2 virus, the flu vaccine can provide cross-protection and help lessen the severity and duration of symptoms if you get sick, Columbus Public Health Commissioner Dr. Teresa Long said in a news release. Liar, liar, liar. She does. They're telling you, they're giving you a vaccine that's not going to work. Don't try and backtrack afterwards and say, yeah, well, it might provide cross-protection. Whatever, liars, medical
institutions,
liars.
They have to make themselves a living. right?
Yep.
That's what they do.
Yep.
Even
gotta
though,
cover their
even though they're there to support the public and they're supposed to help us, which they do at some, you know, I don't want to knock them all down, but
yeah.
But you're right.
Right. And they so are. They've got to cover their asses so that, if, you know, years from now when it all comes out, they're all being poisoned and they're trying to do mass genetics experiments on us.
That doesn't
happen. They can cover their ass and say, oh, well, we thought it was going to work. See? Okay, enough rant. Okay, so we have...
I was ready for more.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be more later. Okay, so we have our guest ready to come on. And her name is Elsa Hermes. And she has been a friend of mine for 5 years or so. And so she is a probably one of the most intelligent people I've ever met, actually. She is amazing at symbology. She is a very good astrologer, very good researcher, amazing with reflexology. And so I'll stop pimping her and we will bring her on here. Good morning, Elsa.
Good morning, Mark. How are you? Happy New Year.
Good. Happy New Year to you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing great. Looking forward to this year. It's going to be exciting.
It is. It is. It is. So, yeah, definitely a different energy out there, I think. We've really kind of... do I want to just go on a rant on Capricorn here? I'll try to behave myself. Okay, so Mars has just come out of Capricorn. We only have two more days. Actually, tomorrow at some point, Venus leaves Capricorn and goes into Aquarius. On the 5th, I believe it is, Mercury goes into Aquarius. So that would just leave the Sun and Pluto in there. So I think the Aquarius energy is a nice relief to me. The Capricorn energy is a little heavy and depressive at times to me, to be honest with you.
It's like get your hippie groove on with all the Aquarius going on.
Exactly. Be sure you're wearing a flower in your hair.
I can't wear a flower.
And the tie-dye shirt.
And that I won't wear.
I've got plenty of those.
No, I won't wear it.
We're already labeled as hippies. We don't have to. So I see you have plenty of things you've got coming out this year. I know you've taught a symbology class recently that I went to that was very awesome.
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was exciting. I'm planning to do a lecture in February in Clintonville on sacred geometry. So I'm doing some research on that. And as you know, I'm also a certified reflexologist. And for your listeners out there who are not familiar with that kind of bodywork modality, it's basically hitting different reflex points on the feet that correlate to different organs in the body. So it's a wonderful experience for well-being. It's really good for people who don't like getting a massage. They feel uncomfortable with their body being touched. So getting it on the feet has also got some amazing benefits. So I've got that going on. And I'm also planning to get my blog moving this year. I'm taking advantage of that Saturn and Sagittarius. So I think this year's going to be fun. It's with all the transits going on, I'm just kind of moving with the flow, as they say.
Yeah, I was looking at your chart last night. Actually, I thought you got some pretty heavy stuff on the happening right now.
Yes, and I think that's the wonderful thing about being an astrologer is you. It's kind of like you get an advanced view of what is coming your way and how to best navigate through those energies. And some of these energies can be very challenging and not fun and at times painful. And it just brings an awareness of yourself and who you are and how you handle it. So it's really an amazing tool to evolve, hopefully, into a better and wiser person. I mean, you know, none of us are perfect, but our goal is to evolve into better people, right? And help
quite
one another.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You've already started, Mark.
Right. Now, so you're telling, I mean, these are all about, we're at the, heading into the last of the seven Uranus-Pluto exact squares, which happens around, I think it's March 16th.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think we've all been asked to reevaluate and resize things and kind of, I have to make a lot of changes and everything, but to set our realities up in a better way. And actually, I mean, one of the things that I don't see on many of the astrology blogs or anything is, I think the big overwhelming thing right now is that, I mean, Pluto is square to the nodes. So, I mean, that is showing a shift in destiny for, like, all of mankind right now. You're being asked to get yourself on to where you're supposed to be, to get yourself onto the right track as these energies keep mutating. And it's going to be, the more people try to stay into the old 3D reality that they're used to, it's going to be painful for some people.
Yes, I agree. I think that, you know, for some people, they're so entrenched in the daily, hamster in the wheel, their TV shows, paying their bills, kind of with blinders on, not really delving within themselves, not taking a moment to stop and go into that place within. For some people, that terrifies them. And I think with that Uranus and Aries, you know, as you know, Uranus is, you know, unconventional, unusual. He's a maverick. And then you've got that hitting that Pluto in Capricorn, you know, kind of hitting our institutions and structure and our power structures and so forth. And I just think, you know, I think of Uranus and Aries as like in the mind, the electric in our mind, right, waking us up. Because Aries in medical astrology is the head. And in Capricorn, typically that symbolizes the knees. So I feel like it's bringing humanity to our knees. And realizing that the way that we are living things right now, something is not right. Something needs to change, you know. And, of course, you know, we've got the media machine kind of instilling us with fear. We're constantly bombarded with a lot of negative, pessimistic images, whether it's movies like 2012 or The Walking Dead. I mean, that's the number one show in the country about zombies and there's blood and all of this. So there's a lot of darkness, and it's for those who are more aware, I mean, it's so blatantly clear. But I think even those who are just going through the daily rigor of life, they know that something isn't right. I don't know how much you've covered this in your previous shows, but as you know, Uranus and Pluto were what's called a conjunction back in the 60s. And think about how the 60s, the late 60s were, how tumultuous it was. You had the hippie movement, you had, you know, John F. Kennedy murdered Martin Luther King, you know, Bob Kennedy, you had the war. So I really think after this seventh aspect between Uranus and Pluto, I think in the next few years, there's going to be like a shaking up, a awakening, change needs to come. So it's very powerful. I don't think we should be bringing fear into it. I think the media does a good enough job for that. I think we need to bring our wisdom, our life experience wisdom, what is best for humanity, what is the truth, you know, and that kind of plays into the whole Saturn going through Sagittarius. You know, Sagittarius is that higher belief, the universal knowledge, you know, our principles, our truths. So we can use that Saturn in Sagittarius to really bring some type of movement that could take us to a better place. So I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful for what's coming, and I think we're overdue. We're overdue for some changes, all of us. And it takes one. It's personal accountability. It's each one of us making those changes. What are your thoughts, Mark?
Oh, yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I think Saturn in Sagittarius is about reinventing ourselves, especially with it being square to Neptune, imagination, Saturn structures, Jupiter, big picture. So it's expanding our thoughts and our philosophies and our spirituality, which are all Jupiter, Neptune areas. And with those in a square, that kind of kicks some energy into those thought processes. And so I think this year more than ever, it's our thoughts and actions are going to be even more important than ever. Because things are like manifesting so quickly. Mm-hmm. And it's like we're literally just like creating our realities like by the second. I mean, just things just shift so fast now that it's now more than ever, it's important that we have our thoughts focused on the right things, don't feed into negativity. And then when we see these opportunities or chances that we act, so now that's been one of my weak points is I get ideas, but I'm like, okay, well, I'll wait and do this on then or when I have a moment or whatever. And it's like, I know one of my challenges is to immediately act upon things when I see them and not let things, that's a way to keep us stuck in the linear time continuum.
Yep. And I also see Saturn squaring Neptune and Saturn in Sagittarius cutting the fat from religious fanaticism. You know, I wonder if we're going to see some more, things coming up, things that are hidden and that are messed up from some of the religious factions, you know, with that Saturn cutting the fat, coming into square to that Neptune, which is the dreamy spirituality, and then Sag going through that Sagittarius. So, that will be interesting, very interesting.
Go ahead.
No, it's just, the majority of population is so entrenched into some of these religious organizations that sometimes keep us enslaved and keeps us closed-minded. So I'm wondering if, when that Saturn's going through that Sag and then you've got the square to Neptune, what's going to come from under the murky waters? You know, is it going to be scandals? It can go any which way, and I am all for anything that liberates the human mind from in-the-box thinking. I'm all for. Each one of us have this beautiful mind of imagination and dreams and artistic expression, and I'm all for just freeing that up somehow. So it's I think 2015 is going to be an intense year, and I don't mean that in a negative way. I think people are still kind of in that daze, but I just feel like more and more people are starting to realize there's just something's not right here, and that kind of propels change, which is what we need for sure.
Right.
So there's my
Okay. Right. No, I totally agree. I mean, this inevitably has got to go better than the last time that we had Saturn and Sagittarius squaring Neptune and Pisces, which is when we had the Salem witch trials.
So, oh, okay. Interesting.
Yeah, so let's really hope it goes better than that.
let's hope for that.
But that's an interesting point. I think even on one, on one level too, I think it's definitely our spiritual leaders. I think also, in general, it's, Sagittarius is belief systems. Saturn asks us to look at what is real and sustainable. Then Neptune is intuition, spirituality, imagination. So I think on one level, it's asking us to really look at who and what do we put our faith or trust in on any level, from from friends to corporations to businesses we work for to food manufacturing companies, all the way up to, you know, spiritual leaders or whatnot, or gurus or whatever you want to call them. So I think it's asking us, you know, the bottom line across the board is to look at where we're putting our faith and trust.
Yes. And that kind of has a huge influence on how we live our lives. It affects our morals, our beliefs, all of that. So it's just, you know, I just ask everyone to just be as conscious and aware as possible and do your part to somehow positively contribute. I am all for, you know, as silly as some of this may sound, definitely do something, you know, get involved in some type of charity or something to help each other. Example, I tutor once a week grade school children who need assistance in learning how to read. So just do things that take time out to help one another. And, you know, I love it when I hear people say, well, you know, I don't have time. And then I say to them, well, how much time do you sit and watch TV? And they rattle off a couple TV shows. And I'm like, oh, that's about 6 hours of your time. You know, so it's very easy for us. You know, we're tired. We get home. We turn on that you know, the tube. And, you know, and I say I'm for disconnecting off of that and creating your own life instead of watching others live theirs. So I think that's a part of it as well. And, you know, with these planets moving into Aquarius is very much the humanitarian, helping one another. So I think that's a good way to do something in January, to kind of do something to help your fellow man. And it doesn't take much time, but imagine if every single one of us kind of made an effort to do something. So that's my message.
Right, because, I mean, the energy 10 days from now is going to be really massively different than what it is right now, because we've got a full moon coming up on the 4th here.
Right.
And then, and we're going to have Mercury move into Aquarius. We're going to have Venus move into Aquarius. And then on January 12th, Mars is going to enter Pisces. So it's got a short run in Pisces this time, but so the energy is going to be a lot different here in 10 days from now. And then too, we have on January 15th is when Pluto is exactly square to the nodes, and also on that day Mars in Pisces makes a square to Saturn in Sagittarius. And then on January 19th, Mars is exactly conjunct Neptune at 6 Pisces.
So that's a great day to go meditate somewhere or go swimming or go to the ocean.
Right. Or, I mean, for me, that's going to be at my 5th house. So for me, that's like creative outburst.
Yeah, so, for sure.
Yeah, so that's, I mean, there's going to be a lot of, I mean, I think in most of those, to me anyways, I think are going to be pretty good. Mars isn't always fantastic for everyone in Pisces, but can be a little passive-aggressive sometimes.
Right.
But as long as you're aware of.
Right.
As long as you're aware of that energy and everything. And just, you know, it's a good time to remember, too, that we can flip the, a lot of people talk about New Year's resolutions and things at this point, but I don't really do that stuff, but I understand people, but you just remember at any time you can flip the energy. At any time when you have something hitting in your chart or when you feel the energy, you can always start a new cycle or a new activity or a new project or whatnot. You don't have to wait for a arbitrary date on a calendar that's incorrect anyways.
Yes, as we know. Yes, yeah. So the new moons are great to just start, you know, it's like a new beginning for all of us, you know. And for example, it's moving into Aquarius on the 20th. So, you know, maybe find new things that you want to try out representing the Aquarius energy. I do have friends that kind of do a little ritual on the new moon. They light candles and they meditate and all of that. So I think that's a great use of the energies. Anything to make you more aware of the planetary transits and that beautiful moon shining up in the sky, I think it's always a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna pimp a product here real quick. I ran across this amazing thing, and it's my sister works at there's a local metaphysical shop here called Pearls of Wisdom, but they have this stuff. It's, do you know what moldavite is?
It's a special crystal, right? From a comet or something?
Yes, it's actually from outer space. It's part of, there's a large comet that crashed, and I'm sure I'm going to screw some of this up. It crashed in the Czech Republic, I think, in like the over 100 years ago. But yeah, it has a very bizarre, odd feel to it, and some people kind of turned me on to this. I've never really gotten into the crystal things much until like the last 6 months or so. And I'm really finding interesting. Some of these really have interesting energies when you really kind of play with them a little bit. It's really,
right.
You know, I kind of thought it was a bunch of hooey a few years ago, but it's
really
amazing.
Empath, and I've touched moldavite, and I felt dizzy when I touched it. So it's got it has a weird vibe to it.
It does, and so I'll keep this story clean and edit out some things.
We love you, Mark.
So I took a bath like a week ago. I've taken baths since then.
You set yourself up on that one.
I know. I just kind of planted the tree.
That's good for Pisces, taking a bath. Yeah.
Oh, us dirty hippies. So I'd actually got at this store, Pearls of Wisdom, they actually had some moldavite bath salts. It was bath salts made of like moldavite shavings. So I, we'll say I was alone, and I put them in the bathtub with me. And
I'm looking at you. I got this weird visual. I have to stop looking.
Yes, I believe, as one of my friends says, I can't unsee that.
Yeah. My eyes are closed.
La 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 la. But it was it was like, I've never really been like a drug user, really. But this was like, dude,
you
was
had
amazing.
An experience.
I had an
really?
Experience. I was like, I was tripping, dude. I mean, it was,
wow.
It was.
This was last week, Mark?
Yeah.
Last week. Wow.
And it was like,
you were sick all last week, right?
I've been.
You've been in the bathtub all week.
I've been sick since Thanksgiving, pretty much straight, except for a few days here and there. Yeah, my body's undergoing a shift of some sort.
Mm.
So hopefully I've finally kicked that. But moldavite bath salts, they're amazing.
I wonder if that has to do with that Neptune transit hitting your Mercury, because Mercury represents kind of the nervous system. So maybe Neptune hitting your natal Mercury is kind of messing up the wiring just temporarily. That could be part of that.
Yeah. I'm in standard, typical, predictable fashion, I'm blaming Capricorn.
Don't blame Capricorn. And, you need to become one with Capricorn. Make your peace.
Hey, remember, I stole Saturn's rings, and I still have them.
You need to give it back.
That's why he worked so well for me last year.
Okay.
He knows I've got something on him. But no, check this out. I've had stomach issues for 6 weeks, and it correlated at the time. So remember, I have a Moon, Jupiter, midheaven, stellium in Cancer. Right? Cancer rules
That's
the stomach, right?
Right,
okay.
Yeah.
So when all this stuff started, Mars was in Capricorn just about in exact opposition to my moon in Cancer.
Ouch. I can, yeah.
So that's
okay.
Agitation out of the Mars. And then we had Venus go into Capricorn, and then so hopefully that was it. And then, because when Mars left Capricorn, I got a bump up, and that's when I first started feeling better. And then I don't know what my setback was last. Oh, well, you know what? Venus, I got bad again when Venus was exactly opposite my moon.
Oh, interesting. And the ruler of your Capricorn is Saturn, which sits in your sixth house of health. Is that right?
Right, that is true. That is true.
Yeah.
And Cancer is the natural ruler of the stomach. So.
Yes, yes. And the breasts. Are your breasts okay?
They're pretty good. I was thinking of getting some implants, but...
I couldn't help that one.
Okay.
Producer here.
Maybe I'll ask a friend to check them for me. Maybe I need to replace the. Maybe I need to replace the tassels every once in a while.
Hey, let's keep this rated G, kids. Rated G.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
And that was called censorship. I was just censored by my...
Thanks, Adam, for stopping by.
That's the calm down button. Calm down.
Not down.
We have too much fun on this show, don't we?
More fun than humans or rabbits should be allowed. So what? We've got about 15 more minutes or so here with you. What stands out to you about like next year overall?
Next year, well, we touched on one, definitely the Uranus and Pluto squaring in March, and that month of March always gets me nervous because something always goes on in March. I just feel that. The other thing, too, is, and it's kind of what you gentlemen were talking about before I joined you, was that Jupiter is entering Virgo in August. So I kind of see a shift in focus and definitely to the area of health and holistic health. People really going the way of the organic, you know, the organic business is taking off. People want to eat cleaner. I could see like the vegan, vegetarian eating habits kind of even growing even more. And people even trying to have their own gardens in their backyard. So that's going to be, when it moves into Virgo, I'm very curious how that shift is going to work. And people wanting to cut off Western medicine. Not that there's anything wrong with it. I mean, it definitely has its place in dealing with certain situations, but there's also, we should also embrace some of the more Eastern holistic. So people trying to look at alternatives besides depending on pharmaceuticals. So then, you know, and again, just cleaning up, clean the earth, maybe find new ways to recycle. Becoming more aware of just being organic, I think. So that's going to be, that kind of stands out for me. And it's kind of a nice energy coming in after this intense Uranus square Pluto. And then, as you know, Saturn kind of moseys on back to his last few hits of Scorpio. So I'm wondering what that's going to dredge up. I'm sure something's going to come up to the surface again, and then he's going to move full force back into Sagittarius. So those are kind of the key things that stick out for me. How about you, Mark? Anything for next year? I mean, this year that, you know, sticks out?
Oh, that's right. It is 2015.
Yeah.
Yeah, that shadow period, that period you were talking about with Scorpio, when Saturn goes back into Scorpio, Mm-hmm. It's kind of called the shadow period, and that will be from June 15th until September 18th of next year. Saturn mm-hmm. will be retrograde from June 15th to August 2nd when it goes direct, but still in Scorpio. And then it's September 18th when it re-enters Sag. So people will be revisiting things that have gone on the last month and a half.
Yeah.
Of last mm-hmm. year, of 2014, any kind mm-hmm. of issues that came up then will be revisited in that, any Saturn-Scorpio issues will be revisited mm-hmm. in that time period. So maybe people can make a little mental note of that. And I wanted to point out, too, when you brought up the 60s generation, I think you're totally right about the food. And people really, and I think it's not only... I mean, people are more concerned with what they're eating and what they're putting into their body. And mm-hmm. I think it's, and this may have been part of my issue I've been having, is I think when there's certain, like, awakenings that go on in part of your, you know, your body or spirit or whatever, that your physical body does not always does not continue to vibrate at the same level as some of the foods or things that we put into our body.
Right.
So
right.
I think as that happens, we may need to make continual adjustments as to what our body, I mean, because ultimately our body has the last, our body can't really tell, our body can't really, I'm going to try to make this not graphic. Our body can't really keep us from putting things into it, but it sure as hell can get rid of them if it don't want them in there.
Right. 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 And it,
it
and,
may
you
not
know,
have,
it's difficult. Yeah, I mean,
it may
it's
not
difficult.
Have the first say, but it has the last word.
Last say. But, you know, I mean, I think you can agree. It's very difficult to be a really healthy eater. I mean, let's face it, the junk food tastes amazing. There's times when I crave a McDonald's French fry. You know what I mean?
Right.
But at the end of the day, it's toxic for us. So I think, you know, maybe Jupiter kind of expanding that Virgo kind of, I'm kind of hoping for more of the positive manifestation of an awareness. You know, maybe yoga will go through the roof.
Right.
Things that are just more organic and you know, and it's insane. You go to the grocery store and to buy organic foods, it's actually twice as expensive as to
Absolutely.
Buy junk food. So it's very backwards. So I
go ahead. So I mean one thing I do see that's good is there's more and more. Like I've got like 4 or 5 places relatively close to me that I can go that has like a really good selection of organic or natural, you know, food products and other things. So.
Mm-hmm.
I may not some of them may not have great prices on some things, but usually I hit a couple of them. I can usually find what I need at a pretty decent price.
Right, right.
And I'm finding too. I'm buying a lot less food because the stuff that is not good for you doesn't stick, or my body doesn't like it. So
mm-hmm.
I'm buying less food, so I kind of am. All right, with spending a little bit extra on a few good things than buying a whole bunch of crap.
Right, right. And you're really getting into the oils as well, those beautiful oils like frankincense and lavender. And again, that's very Virgo, holistic health, tying up between the human body, you know, and just the way that the earth moves and how we're eating and then, you know, doing some kind of physical, you know, whether it's yoga, some kind of stretching where it kind of connects, it pulls in that body, mind, and spirit energy. And that is one of my goals this year, to get back into yoga. I really enjoyed it. I kind of fell off the wagon a little bit, but I think it's just really good to kind of embrace, you know, our beautiful human bodies that we take for granted. You know, so it's going to be an interesting year. You know, I say move forward and do your best to live a good life, be kind to others, and remain flexible. You know, one thing is guaranteed to all of us, and that is change, as you know, Mark. You know, we're fortunate because we're mutable signs. You and I, I'm a Gemini, you're a Pisces. So change for us is kind of a typically a walk in the park, you know. But I know not everybody is wired that way. So, you know, just definitely help one another and live a good life. That's my two cents for 2015.
Right. One of my an astrologer I really like, Alyssa Sharp, has a really – she's totally freaking hilarious. But she has a good comment on Pisces. She's like the advantage Pisces have is they're just – they're totally okay with chaos, whereas like some signs can't deal with chaos. Like Pisces can kind of thrive in it and can, you know, see in the murky water and just through the intuition can, you know,
it's
direct
beautiful.
Traffic through the muck where some other signs it may be, you know, like some Virgos, if everything isn't in neat order, they can't necessarily function, right?
That's true. That's true. And it's almost like we should take advantage of that Neptune floating through Pisces, you know.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, kind of transcending, which, you know, it's difficult to do, but kind of transcending and trying to see what is the big overall picture, kind of like letting the ego go, you know. And, of course, we all have ego and we need ego, but it's good to just kind of rise above yourself and try to see, well, what is the world humanity picture, you know? And that's my hope for Neptune and Pisces. Instead of all that escapism that, you know, people are going into, I say, no, move away from that and move into meditation and spirituality and all of that good stuff.
Right. Totally agree. And like what you're saying earlier about that kind of that, the hippie generation born in the 60s is very interesting because people born in my time period, like the early through mid 60s, it's getting close to our time to step up and kind of take control of things because we have, all of us born in my time period have a Uranus-Pluto conjunction
that's
fairly tight. Yeah, right, in the sign of Virgo. So look, like late this year and then really into 2016, we're going to have Jupiter and Virgo, and it's going to be hitting that.
Yes.
It'll cross over that conjunction. Also, the North Node late this year, I think it's in October, the North Node moves into Virgo. So within the year after that, you know, by late 2016, the North Node will hit over our Uranus-Pluto conjunctions. And then also we have transiting Pluto and Capricorn right now, which it's coming up the other side, getting ready to form an exact trine to our Uranus-Pluto conjunctions in our natal chart. So the people born in the 60s, it's really, the next 2 years is really going to be the time for us to take center stage and kind of do what the heck we were put here for.
And then also you were born with, most of you, with that sextile to Neptune. So not only did you have that amazing conjunction, you had a sextile to Neptune. And I love doing charts for people that were born in the 60s that have personal planets that aspect both that Neptune and Uranus and Pluto. Very powerful personality types. So, yeah, that's going to be pretty interesting, I think.
Yes, I was actually born the first day of spring that preceded the Summer of Love, as it was called. So I was the spring of foreplay, I guess. the first day of the spring of foreplay.
But
oh man!
Yeah, I know. It's amazing I have a show, doesn't it? So, Annie, I know you have other obligations and you need to scoot off here in a moment.
Yes, I do.
Do you want to pimp yourself real quick?
Sure. Anybody interested here in the Columbus area for a reflexology appointment or an astrology session with me can reach me through my email at Elsa, for travel, and that's the actual number, for elsafortravel@gmail.com, or you can reach me at 740-816-3501, and I would love to hear from you. And Mark, thank you very much for having me on your show. It was a great time. It's always good with you.
Oh, thank you for coming on. I've threatened to have my own show for a long time, and so I'm glad you're able to come on and spend some time with us.
Great. Well, Happy New Year to everybody, and take care.
Happy New Year.
Okay, my friend. I'll talk to you soon. Take care.
Okay, ciao.
Okay, bye.
We will be right back.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com on the Blog Talk Radio Network, your free online holistic publication resource radio for trusting your intuition, achieving self-discovery, and following your soul self.
You are listening to WithInsightsRadio.com and WithInsights.com, your free online holistic publication resource magazine for achieving self-discovery and inspiration. Please feel free to explore our daily inspirational quotes and uplifting stories, exclusive interviews with local world-known inspirational leaders.
Go ahead. Okay, so we are back, and I want to thank our guest Elsa Hermes for coming on, spending a few minutes with us, my very good friends. And I should have given her credit. She actually helped. She kind of came up with the name for the show. Because I had a list of possible names, and I was just going to. I was like, okay, well, I like the rabbit hole, because I have the rabbit hole meetup, which is conspiracy, mm-hmm. kind of conspiracy type stuff, and a little astrology. And she's like, you should call it Mark the Rabbit Hole. I'm like, that works on a couple different levels. That's kind of cool.
Yeah, it does.
So, thank you, Elsa, for that. So, sorry, we're going to jump back on the sports astrology here for a second.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe more in a second. So, anyways, Buckeyes pulled the big upset last night, as I predicted on my blog. There's really very little good sports astrology information out there. So, I am working on a book. I've really only found, I've not even found a good sports astrology book. I found one book, or I found a CD-ROM that somebody had put out about 15 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, that was really good. And by the way, almost all the really good sports astrologers are women. Because I know all the ones that a couple of my friends or Facebook friends have, they may not want to call me a friend, I don't know. But they've all been on ESPN doing predictions and stuff, but they're all women. It seems like the women really pick up well on the sports astrology stuff. So anyways, Urban Meyer had some really good, so I do many, just a short version of this. So I do a lot of things when I'm really looking at a game, or because I do predictions for all sports, and most of them I do predictions for the whole season and pick champions and all that stuff. I picked the last 5 Super Bowl winners correctly. So I have a birth chart. Excuse me. I have a birth chart for every professional sports, the 4 major sports. I have track down the place of their first game, and also for most of the major college football and basketball teams as well, which that one's a little more tricky because some of these schools have been playing, you know, some of these schools have been playing football since the 1880s. So that gets a little hairy trying to track down some of those. And the basketball is even worse because the record keeping in the early days of basketball was not nearly as big as football in the early days. So it was a little, that's still a research project always ongoing. But I have a chart for the teams, and these work extremely well. As I think most of my predictions show that I'm able to make accurate predictions with these. And then I will look, if it's like the Super Bowl or a big game like last night's game, I will look at the head coach chart for each team. And then maybe the, it's a pro sporting event where birth dates are much more readily available. Then I will look at some of the key players and things like that. And that's how I've done so well with my Super Bowl predictions. So interesting enough, I mean, Urban Meyer really had nice things. he had really had some nice Venus aspects and stuff at the end of the game last night. So I set up a chart for the beginning of the game also, and then because you kind of, what's even more important is want to see what aspects are happening at the end of the game, usually when the game is decided. Mm-hmm. So I will look. I may have 30 charts sometimes for not for last night's game. I did last night. I had like 10 charts I was looking at, but I also look at the chart for the end of the game, which kind of lets you know who's going to be. Oh my!
As I distract you from my computer to yours. you had 10 charts. Sorry.
Yeah, like 10. Wow. I had like 10 charts I was looking at. So I had Alabama and Ohio State's chart, and then Urban Meyer, Nick Saban's chart, and then try to look at the charts of a couple players. And then again for the beginning and end of the game, because you kind of want to see what kind of mood the team or coaches' charts are for the end of the game. And I kind of got, I actually had a really weird kind of synchronicitous experience last night, because I was trying to get my blog done before the game. I sat down, I got it done, and you know, plenty of time before the game, but then I was having some problems getting into the website to upload my blog. And so then I'd finally kind of given up on it, and I was just like, oh, maybe it's the universe telling me that I shouldn't put it up because maybe my prediction is going to be way off. And so my final, again, you can go to iamplanetsoul.com to read the whole blog from last night's game. But it ended up that the first game ran long because Oregon was scoring thousands of points on Florida State. And also, I want to point out what kind of classless losers Florida State is, because at least Winston went out and shook hands afterwards, but even the announcers pointed out that like over half the Florida State team just walked off the field. They didn't even go shake hands afterwards. So Florida State classless losering last night. Great job.
Yeah, I was reading an article that something happened with Oregon players. They're going to get, so some of them are going to get suspended or something, because they wrote a song about Florida State and they sung it.
Mm.
So I don't know. I have to dig into that a little deeper.
Yeah.
Could be one of those farces.
Right. So we had
sore losers, huh?
Yes, sore losers. Sore losers. so we finally had, well, another guy, one of the key guys for Ohio State the last two games has been Ezekiel Elliott, who's got like 450 yards rushing and four touchdowns the last two games.
Yeah, he's gonna be
two biggest games of the season. Well, I decided to look up his, I wanted to look up his birthday to see what he had happening in his chart. Oh, so, it, oh wait, okay, I got this. I guess I didn't get much sleep last night either. With the game ending at, it was already a late starting game. Then they pushed it back a half an hour because of the early game going long. Mm-hmm. And then with all the scoring plays and everything, that kind of made the game run long. So it was like I was saying in the beginning of the show, which I don't think I finished. If you have any friends in Columbus, they're probably a little groggy today because we probably didn't get to bed till 1:30 or later last night. When the game didn't end until it was almost 1:30, I think, when the game ended. As if there's also like 6 or 7 injuries they had to stop the game for.
Yeah.
But Urban Meyer had some really nice Venus aspects at the end of the game. And also he has a stellium in the sign of Gemini, and the moon was crossing it. The Ohio State team chart has a stellium of Neptune, Mercury, Venus, and Pluto all in the low degrees of Gemini. The moon went into Gemini yesterday. So that was one of the reasons I'd picked Ohio State to win, is because Pluto is power and perseverance and gives you long-standing, energy and the ability to take punches and hang in there for a long time. So with the moon went into Gemini yesterday, so it was at the low degrees and crossing over all these planets in Ohio State's chart. There are Venus, Neptune, Mercury, and Pluto. With the Pluto being at 5 Gemini, which when I ran the end of game chart, I showed that the moon was going to be right at 5 degrees Gemini right about the time the game was ending. So the moon stays at a degree, it changes a degree every 2 hours. So when the moon is in, this is where I'm going to lose people. So it takes the moon, there's 30 degrees in a sign. It takes the moon about 2.5 days to stay in a sign. That's why you'll kind of feel an emotional or energy shift at least every 2.5 days, because the moon changes sign every 2.5 days. So, but almost exact at the time of when the game was ending, the moon was hitting the Pluto and the 3 other planets in Ohio State's chart. So that was one of the, and it was also Urban Meyer's son was in the 10th house for the end of game chart. And there's a thing called synastry where you put one person's planets into a, see where it fits in another person's chart. And so his son was hitting, his son was sitting in the 10th house of the end of game chart. For the end time of the game. And also he had several planets hitting on the midheaven. So I just showed, I know it's probably technical stuff, but anyways, you can track this stuff and look at it down.
Am I distracting you, Mark?
He's sending me pictures of candy because he knows I'm hungry.
And the ESPN announcer who got it all wrong.
Yeah. And so an interesting thing, too, I just really quickly looked at the chart for the championship game on the 12th between Ohio State and Oregon. And transiting Venus will be on that day, it will be hitting exact on the Jupiter of Ohio State. For Ohio State's chart. Jupiter being luck, expansion. So Ohio State's Jupiter is at 11 degrees Aquarius, and that's exactly where Venus will be on that day. So that looks like I have not looked further than that yet, but that looks like a good omen for the Buckeyes for the national championship game. But I started talking about Ezekiel Elliott real quick.
Mm-hmm.
He has a Neptune-Uranus conjunction in the sign of Capricorn, and in the last week, transiting Venus, which is at the late degrees of Capricorn, has been hitting right on his Neptune-Uranus conjunction. So Neptune is underdogs. Uranus is surprise or shocking events. Venus is one of the, Venus is love, it's beauty, it's, there's really not really anything negative associated with Venus. So we have, so you see this guy that, had a good season, and, some people had heard of him, but with Venus hitting over his Uranus-Neptune conjunction, really stepped into the spotlight the last 2 days. And also, as I was talking about the moon hitting Ohio State's Pluto at the end of the game last night, Ezekiel Elliott has moon in Gemini, and so the moon was actually hitting right on his moon last night.
Mm-hmm. I didn't think that.
Right? No. So when the moon is in the sign that your moon is in, you kind of feel very emotionally in balance. You feel very emotionally in tune, and you're mm-hmm. kind of, and that the perfect example of that, I guess, this is going to be a sports astrology half hour. If you remember the Super Bowl from last year, where Seattle just scored like 800 million points on mm-hmm. Denver, when you know Denver was a slight favorite there. Well, a lot of the players on Denver had their Mercury or Sun or Moon in a water sign, and it just so happened that the Moon went void of course, which there's a period every 2.5 days. Where after the moon has made its last exact, I know I'm losing people here.
No,
where the moon has made its last exact aspect, it goes. So it's kind of a dead period, a void period. And like during this period, you don't want to start any new endeavors. You don't want to mm-hmm. sign contract because there's no emotion or no intensity or no force or thought behind it. It's just kind of the purpose of the void of course periods is to give us a chance to really unplug and like not feel emotional intensity all the time. But the moon was hitting in the charts of all the key Peyton Manning, Wes Welker, all the key Broncos players in the Super Bowl last year. The moon went void of course like an hour and a half before the game started and stayed void of course, I think, the whole game until very late.
Hmm.
So you see the moon hitting in the charts of all those Broncos players. It was just like letting the air out of the tire. And you could say, right. And you could say, well, wouldn't that affect the Seahawks too? Well, no, it didn't because the moon wasn't hitting right. You know, Russell Wilson is a Sag, you know, Pete Carroll's a Virgo. Marshawn Lynch is a Taurus. Those guys didn't have their suns or moons and water signs, so it wasn't it wasn't a direct letting out of the air. But as the moon went void, of course, and on an interesting note, this year's Super Bowl, the moon goes void, of course, as well. So just on a brief note, and I'm working on my NFL predictions, and I will have a blog up with my playoff predictions before tomorrow's games start. The Steelers will not win the Super Bowl this year.
I didn't know they were going to get in.
Yeah, they're in. In fact, they're
in the Super Bowl? They haven't played.
They're in the playoffs.
Oh, yeah.
But if they get to the Super Bowl, they will not win.
I was like, what? Did I miss something?
Because they are heavy, heavy Pisces.
Okay.
That whole Roethlisberger's a Pisces, Polamalu's a Pisces, Mike Tomlin's a Pisces.
So it takes a Pisces to know a Pisces.
Antonio Brown is a Pisces.
Wow, there's a lot of Pisces in there.
Right, so they have a heavy Pisces energy. The moon is in the sign of Pisces during the Super Bowl this year, and it's void of course for most of the game. So if the Steelers would make it to the Super Bowl, you're going to see what happened to Denver last year, what happened to Pittsburgh this year.
Mm-hmm.
They will just... the emotional intensity will just be let out of them.
So do you have any favorites going in?
By tomorrow I will have my blog up, and it'll be on I Am Planet Soul again. But just roughly for this weekend's games, I definitely like the Panthers over Arizona. The moon is in Cancer the first part of Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And the Cardinals, unfortunately, have to start Ryan Lindley at quarterback. He is a sun sign Cancer, 0 degrees Cancer. I think the moon is actually void of course during that part of the game. The moon in Cancer, usually favors the home team. I kind of like all the home teams in the playoff games this weekend. Arizona's just not going to be able to score at Carolina. Carolina's playing too good. Even though Pittsburgh has some injuries, They're playing really well. Their passing game's too good right now. And the Ravens have just been awful the last month. They barely beat the Browns, playing a third-string quarterback who'd not played all year, who's a rookie. They barely beat Jacksonville. The Ravens have just been playing awful. So Pittsburgh's going to...
Yeah, so who do you like? Who do you like in the games at the end, final?
I haven't looked that far yet.
If you had just to guess, throw it out there.
Just an initial guess. I mean, I guess I don't have a good feeling about Denver. I don't like the way they've looked.
Yeah, they haven't looked too good the last couple of weeks.
Right. Even though they've gotten blasted, I kind of like Indianapolis or Pittsburgh, perhaps, from the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
If Le'Veon Bell doesn't come back, I don't know if Pittsburgh will make it that far. So even though the Colts have gotten blasted a couple times, I don't know. I don't trust the Patriots at home. They don't seem to be able to win home playoff games. And
so you're going to do all your little calculations.
Right. I've already got the... Oh, I don't have them with me. But yeah, I have the charts for all the playoff teams, and I have the birthdays for all the major players for them. And like, I just haven't sat down and gone hardcore through them yet.
What about the Ducks and the Bucks?
And the... I would give a slight advantage to Ohio State. I haven't looked in detail at the game chart yet.
Mm-hmm.
For the NFC in the playoffs, I definitely like like Dallas and Carolina to win this weekend. I definitely like the Colts and Steelers to win in the AFC.
Carolina, it's hard to believe Carolina's in there.
Yeah.
But they're in there.
Yep. And you know what? Everybody keeps talking about a sub-500 team. Well, you know what? The last time a sub-500 team made it, it was the Seahawks, and they went and beat the Saints, who were the defending Super Bowl champions.
That's true.
Yeah. So last time a sub-500 team made it, they actually won a playoff game and knocked out the defending champion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, you got to play the games, man. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. Right, it's because everyone's 0-0 right now.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So, I mean, for the long term in the NFC, I mean, you would have to – it would be hard to pick against Seattle. I mean, I looked briefly at the team's charts earlier in the year. I mean, you have to kind of look at Seattle versus and Dallas would be my dark horse in the NFL. I have to rank up Seattle, Green Bay, Dallas, and then the AFC.
I think it's a toss-up. It could be anybody's games, you know, if they just – everybody plays their own brand of football.
Yeah. I don't know that Carolina will beat Arizona, but I don't know that they'd be able to go in.
Yeah, I don't know if they'll be able to. But
go into Seattle or Green Bay and win.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't feel it personally, but
yeah, because they're really kind of limited.
Yeah,
offensively and whatnot. But then I'd have to go with. I kind of like Indianapolis or Pittsburgh in the AFC to get there.
So
kind of like the Colts. In a way.
I like the Colts, too. That kind of has been bouncing around in my head a little bit.
Yeah.
After the Browns decided they were going to stop playing football.
Right.
You know, I didn't really pick another team. But the Colts team, I watched them play a little bit. They look good.
Yeah, Andrew Luck is just...
He's getting better. You know, every game, every season, he's getting better.
He just refuses to let them lose. So I do have some interesting...
Okay.
I did kind of start some of my playoff stuff. So I do have a couple weird... Just some weird notes. And I'll put this all on my blog for people to wonder about what the hell I'm talking about later. But I just kind of like to go through and look at zodiac signs.
Mm-hmm.
I look at their whole chart eventually, but I just kind of start off with their sun signs just to kind of see what kind of predominance there is.
Right.
So like I went through the charts of, like, I took the 12 coaches of the teams that made the playoffs. There are 5 Earth signs, 3 Virgos and 2 Capricorns. There are 3 Air signs, 2 Libras and an Aquarius. 2 Fire signs, and they are both Aries. And 2 Water signs, a Pisces and a Scorpio. So heavy on the earth signs for the coaches. So that kind of shows stability and whatnot. And plus with Pluto in the sign of Capricorn, which is an earth sign, that's kind of, if it's hitting things in those coaches' charts, that kind of gives some, you know, stability and patience, ability to teach. You know, earth signs are good teachers because they're pretty stable and dependent, or dependable and patient and able to, you know, go slow and teach people. And so then I looked at quarterbacks afterwards, and there were four earth signs out of the 12 starting the playoff games, four earth signs, four fire signs, three water signs, and one air sign, which is kind of bizarre because usually throughout history, if you go back and look at the, like Ken Stabler, Terry Bradshaw, Joe Montana, all the big name quarterbacks, it's like 80% of the great quarterbacks of all time in the NFL, two zodiac signs, Gemini and Virgo. The Gemini and Virgo are ruled by Mercury. Mercury is mental processes. That's what the quarterback has to do, is they have to know what routes the wide receivers are running. They have to know the blocking assignments. They have to be able to read the defense. Are they blitzing or are they not? What are they in the zone coverage? Are they in the man-to-man?
Right.
So you have to have those. Gemini and Virgo have the quickest mental processes.
The twins.
Right, right. The quick, being able to analyze many different things at once. Also, on the same level, if you go out through, looking through history, a lot of the greatest general, wartime generals, battlefield generals, Gemini and Virgo.
Interesting.
Yeah. So you do see there are predominancies and tendencies towards, you know, people that have to make quick, reflective decisions and things like that between the zodiac signs. And okay, so then I looked at like the main running back for the 12 teams by zodiac sign, and it's six air signs, three fire, two earth, and one water. And that's really unusual because usually, and what was weird is the top running back for four of the 12 teams is, four of them are an Aquarius. So really, Aquarius is really the dominant zodiac sign out of running backs for this year for the playoff team, which is, that's unusual too. Usually for running backs, it's either Taurus or Sag, because Taurus is the bull. That's the, for the really good running back, and Marshawn Lynch is the only Taurus that's the main running back out of any of the playoff teams. Normally, it's a lot more. You see Tauruses and Virgos and stuff like that. And weird enough, there's no Sages out of the top running back for. And so then I looked at the best wide receiver for each team, too. And we ended up with one earth sign, which is understandable, two fire signs, four water signs, and five air signs. So kind of, that's kind of funny of itself as a, the air signs, because you're passing game, you're passing the ball through the air. So you got kind of a...
Makes sense.
Right, a favoritism towards towards the air signs in that. And so it was all, something else that was weird that I... So I divided up all of... So I had, 48 guys here. The coach, quarterback, main running back, main wide receiver for 12 teams. That's 48 guys. So I just kind of tallied up the zodiac signs of each. And it's like Aquarius. There was more Aquarius. Out of those 48 people, there was 8 Aquarius. So that's 1/6, where everything being equal, it should have been 1/12. If there was the same exact amount of every zodiac sign, if it was random, you know. But it's not. You've got 1/6 of them are Aquarius. Then you had 5 Scorpios, 5 Virgos, 5 Libras, 5 Aries as well. So it was kind of, I know that's a lot of...
No, it's just funny watching you. It's like a science. You're like mad scientist over here.
I know. Oh, you should see all the notebooks I have full of numbers and...
It looks like you just got chocolate and you're just eating it all.
I can't help it. So I've been...
funny.
So those of you who don't know the level of my dorkdom, I've actually been a statistician on radio, live and pre-recorded TV and radio sporting events, doing statistics and historical statistics and research and stuff. So I've been doing that since I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've been there for a while.
Yeah, so I've worked on, last I counted up, it was 200 and I've done stats for 230 some games, but it's
you're 25.
The last
right?
two, huh?
You're 25 now,
right? Right, I'm 25 now. That's 7 years. So, but that's it's way over that because I've been working like double the amount of games the last 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it's just kind of interesting to see the percentage of different elements with the tasks that they perform. The air signs, which are mental, you know. Mentally quick and communicative seem to be in positions where they have to make quick judgments and decisions. Or the Virgos, which are good at analyzing, are in areas where they have to, you know, make quick judgments and things, analyze what's, you know, how's the defense lined up, that
sure,
kind
sure.
of stuff. Then you've got the bullish people or... fixed signs, which can be kind of stubborn. Aquarius is a fixed sign. So the fixed signs can be a little more stubborn, a little more harder to budge. So you see like a lot of the running backs were Aquariuses because
mm-hmm.
they were all, the majority, a lot of them were fixed signs. It's hard to budge, hard to move.
You know, last night when I was texting you all night
right.
during the game,
right.
like screaming on the text. But you know, I watched one play that made it really interested me when Evan Spencer threw that touchdown pass to Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
And his foot and everything, you just knew it was destiny at that point. You knew that was going to be their game.
That was an amazing catch.
Because the chances for his foot to land in that precise, on that pitch, the way it did, because if it touches the white, you're out, period.
Right.
So I was like...
You could literally see just one thin stripe of green
yeah.
between his foot and out of bounds.
I was like, I mean, that's got to be, you know, that's just a sign right there.
Right. Right, absolutely.
Because he didn't know where his foot was landing.
No. He was just trying to get the ball, make sure he had it, and just hope that he wasn't near the out-of-bounds line.
Yeah, and I went crazy and texted you.
Yeah! I know, we probably said about 100 texts last night.
That was funny.
Can you believe that crap? What the heck
yeah.
is that guy doing?
We're like, wow. We had a lot of wows.
Okay, so, got about 90 seconds left. So, hope everyone's had a happy new year. Remember to keep putting good energy out there. This is the year where we take control of things. And we... Yeah, it's time to put our best foot forward here and help each other along and try to there it is. Okay. And so couldn't find all my samples. You know, it's important. I think now it's like we've done a lot of reshuffling and refiguring things out for all of us. And so now I think this is going to be a year of action. The first 3 months are still going to be some kind of overthrowing and getting rid of any old karma or anything that's holding us back. But with Saturn and Sagittarius, we're reinventing ourselves and putting plans in motion. And then I think after the middle of March, I think we take off.
I'm ready.
So I believe we just have a couple seconds
Mark,
here.
Mark, time to return to the ship.
Okay, I guess it's time to return to the ship. And we will have a guest next week. And I will let you know as soon as I find out who it is. And so So take care, everyone, and thank you for listening, and we will catch you next week. Ciao.